A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Today's daf, Shabbos Kuf Yud Veh, Shabbos 112, pagination page 223. We have a beautiful piece of Gemara. All pieces of Gemara are beautiful, but some are more easily accessible than others. Right in the middle of the wide lines, about 12, 13 lines down, again, middle of a line, Rabbi Yirmiya. Drop further down. You see that? Rabbi Yirmiya v'ka'ozo basredi Rabbi Avohu b'Karmelis. Rabbi Yirmiya was walking behind Rabbi Avohu in a Karmelis. They were walking together, and they are in a somewhat public area. Ifsik Ritsua de Sandale, the strap of his sandal got detached. It's no longer functional. So we have a few questions here. What is he supposed to do? The type of sandals that they had, and that's why the word sandal is a pretty good translation as opposed to shoe, is that if you didn't have the strap, you couldn't wear it. Mishneh Berurah mentions that our shoes are different than this because, firstly, the material is more flexible, and secondly, it closes in more, and that it is somewhat usable even if the shoelace would be detached. But he was dealing with a sandal so that once it's open, once the strap is missing, you're stuck. You can't use it. Omalei meini avidlo, what can I do for it? Is there a way that I could continue to wear it? Omalei, he told him, shekol gemi lach, take a soft piece of growth, dechazi lemaicho behema, that's fitting to be fed to an animal, obviously already detached, because otherwise you have another problem called kotzer. But we're talking it's already detached and it's a piece. If it's a vine, if it's a grass, a strong grass, something that's soft and able to be used for an animal's food, v'koruchi lave, and wrap it so that the sandal gets sealed up and you're able to wear it. The Gemara continues with a contrasting case. Abaye v'koyi kamei d'Rav Yosef. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef. Ifsik le'ritzua. And again, the strap was detached, and he was stuck. Amale, he told him, Mayi avidle, what can I do for it? Amale, he told him, Shafke, you have to leave it where it is. Mayshinami d'Rav Yirmiya. So they asked, why is that different than Rabbi Yirmiya's case, where he allowed them to find a solution and use a gemilach, a soft piece of growth, and seal it up, and now I can continue wearing it? And he answered, Hasam lo minter. Over there, by the leniency that Rabbi Yirmiya gave, it wasn't guarded. The shoe would have been lost. It was in a public area. It was in a Karmelis. And if you go and read back into the wording of the Gemara, it's fascinating because his words were, "Mai ni avid lo, what can I do for it?" For the shoe. He's worried about the shoe. Now, normally you read that statement and you figure, he means, what can I do for it for me because I need to wear a shoe? But the way the Gemara is answering, it's really, "Mai ni avid lo, what can I do for the shoe?" He didn't want to lose the shoe. Ha-ha minter. But over here it's guarded. They were apparently like in the study hall when it happened. And he said, I have no leniency for you because the shoe is not at risk. Now, the Mefarshim ask that where do we find that because of chisaron kis, because of a loss of money, you're allowed to be lenient on muktza or whatever violation. What violation is being done when he wraps this growth through the shoe? Presumably he's not tying it, because if he was tying it, we would get into a different question of whether tying using growth, which is temporary, is that called or it's not the way they did it in the Mishkan, if that's called tying. And we can get into that. Dirsha Mishneh Berurah brings the Machlokas, the Chazon Ish, other Mefarshim among the Rishonim. That's an interesting question. Is there tying with growth? But avoiding that, there seems to be some level of Muktzah issue on the growth, perhaps, or on the shoe. Why did whatever Muktzah issue that there was fall off? Because we were at risk of losing the shoe. So you'll notice, if you have access to an art scroll note 28 brings from the Rishonim a fascinating insight over here. An item is Muktzah if its owner is of the opinion that it has no use. If a person has this break in a public area, a carmelis, he realizes that he's going to lose the item if he doesn't come up with a solution. So his mind frame is, I'm willing to find a clumsy solution in order to be able to continue wearing the shoe, sandal. Maybe we could even extend it that he's in the public area and doesn't want to go barefoot. This is not like you walk into your front yard maybe without sandals, or you walk around the study hall maybe without sandals because you don't have. He's walking in the public area. He wants a sandal. In that case, his mind frame on the sandal is that it's still usable, because he's going to take this soft piece of growth and fix it and walk clumsy. And even though he normally would not do that, but because of the case of duress that has presented itself to him, his mind frame on the sandal is that it's still usable. Whereas if that same thing happens in normal setting, in a house, in a study hall, in whatever, his mind frame on the sandal is it's unusable unless you fix it professionally or something. And that's the difference over here between the solution of Rabbi Yirmiyah, hasam lo minter, it was not guarded. And therefore, because the sandal was not guarded, he's willing to wear it clumsy in order to get it back in. The focus is on the sandal, but therefore his mind frame is different, and he views the sandal as a non-mukta item. It still has use. Now, the reason that it had to be soft growth, gemi lach, soft, as opposed to yavesh, dry, is because it has to be fitting for an animal. It has to be able to be eaten by an animal, and if it was hard, tough, like a twig, so apparently the Gemara recognizes that that's not fitting for an animal, which opens up the discussion that it's only non-mukta if there is such an animal in town, if it's normal to have animals and view this item as a non-mukta item. But if the item is only theoretically usable, but there are no such animals, you don't have any such animals, there are no animals like that in town, it's not a prevalent thing, so then the item would presumably be back to being muktzah. And that becomes one of the most delicate topics in Hilchas Muktzah nowadays, is that things mentioned in the Gemara as non-muktzah could sometimes be muktzah in our time. Raw meat. The Gemara says, chazi l'umtza, you could eat it raw. Nowadays, eating it raw on meat is unheard of. Even fish, which was a great example, you put it in the freezer and it's considered mukta. It's sitting in the front, and how are you going to access the things in the back? So nowadays people argue, yeah, raw fish, sushi, there are cases, people eat raw fish. You still have to question whether the fish really is eaten raw, this type of fish that's sitting here, or is it totally off limits? And again, even if the Gemara would mention that something is non-mukta or could be non-mukta, they were living in an agricultural society, there were animals that would eat this. You have to know exactly what type of gemi you're choosing to do fixing, whether it's the shoe or it's anything else. You want to know, what can I use sitting in your courtyard? It has to be something that indeed would halachically be non-mukta in our time.
What? Why?
Yes, Shukrof, have a great day.
Why do you feel?